This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Hello, and thanks for joining me. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reitberger, and today it's a Conversations with Carol show. I guess I was just a little overanxious. My gosh, I've been getting downloads all morning of things to be able to share on this show today. So it is a Conversations with Carol show, and what does that mean? That means that I'm going to be sharing these downloads, that I always go to my guides and say, okay, so we're doing a Conversations with Carol. Tell me what's on the energy docket today. What can I share with everybody? And today was just very exciting for me to be able to share with you. So just a little anxious there. So Conversations with Carol, what that means is I'm going to be taking calls, lots of calls, unlike other shows where I have a topic and I'm able to slot in maybe four calls. This one is just all about us. It's all about us being able to talk and for me to be sharing my intuitive skills with you. And you notice I dropped the word medical. I can do medical intuition, use my intuition that way. Or we could even in the calls talk about, you know, not only what's going on with your health, but what's going on in your life, what's going on in this energy field right now, and what's going on with relationships, and how does all of that relate to what's going on in the energy field right now. So if you have a question for me, I invite you to call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in the U.S. and Canada. And then as well, international callers, so dial your international calling code, and then 877-230-3062. I look forward to talking to you. I'm also wanting to announce again, I very excited. I had a guest on my show, Susan Weishart, who is the author of Soul Visioning. Well, Susan and I have teamed up, and we're going to be offering a webinar titled Clearing the Past and Creating a New Future. It's going to be happening on August 20th, 2013. At 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's an actual 90-minute webinar. Susan and I have been putting together the format of the things that we would really like to be able to cover in this 90-minute webinar to be able to give you the value of using your own intuition and really looking at your life and habits and so forth, and how are you going to clear that away. We have a lot of experiential activities that Susan wants to do as well, which is something that we can all actually experience online. We can apply that to our daily lives, and then our lives just almost like miraculously make a change, and then what we know is now the past is no longer predicting our future. So anyway, it's an online webinar. We're going to be talking about the wisdom of the soul and the wisdom it can offer. We're going to also be talking about the major obstacles that interfere with our ability to create permanent change. And I think myself, one of the things that I want to bring to the webinar is the fact that every little bit of change that we make, even the littlest, tiniest of change, actually works toward the permanent process of change. It's just that when we in our humanness and our conditioning believe that we make a change, we expect it to be like a domino effect psychologically. It is energetically, but psychologically, and then what we do is we get discouraged. And in that discouragement, then what we do is we can't really see the progress that we've made. So we're going to be talking about those major obstacles. There's a lot of them, as we know, fears and insecurities. But what are the ones that seem to be consistent in the pattern of humanness? And the first and foremost obstacle is the belief that not enough, not good enough, not enough time, not enough money, not enough. And so we're going to be talking about that, and then also how to identify, forgive, and reprogram that monkey mind. That's that mind that just spins and spins and spins and repeats and repeats and ruminates and ruminates. And what it does is it just keeps us locked into those old thinking patterns and the emotional reactions associated with those patterns. And then also, how do we move beyond this not good enough? And then how do we install new beliefs using the WHEE, W-H-E-E, WHEE, process to be able to replace the old patterns. So it's going to be a 90 minutes that's going to be full of a lot of applicable information, immediately applicable to your life, and then also some experientials to be able to really start the reprogramming in your brain to be able to create in that neuroplasticity, that new neural highway of where you desire to be in creating a new future versus letting your past predict what your future is going to be. As a webinar, you can join us three ways, by phone, on your computer, and also Skype. The cost of event is not $14.95, but we're actually offering an early bird discount. So if you want to join us, this discount is good until August 7th, 2013. It's only $11.95. You will actually get the download of the recording itself, so if you're the webinar. So if you're not able to attend, go ahead and take advantage of the discount, and then you'll receive the download of the event as if you were on there live, and you can listen to it over and over again. So if you want to know more about the webinar and how it works and find out more about Susan or about myself, then just go to my website, www.ritberger.com. On the home page, you will see a moving banner of slides. Just click on the slide, Clearing the Past, Creating a New Future. And again, that's on ritberger.com. Well, as I mentioned, I always go to my guides, and, you know, I do this on a regular basis anyway, just to get a sense of what's going on so I can be of service in an energetic way to my clients when I'm actually doing readings with them. But I go to them also at the end of each month, and I say, okay, can you just... we don't want to go back and look at what we've been doing. I want to go in and I want to find out, where's the energy today? What's going on exactly today? And then also, how is this energy today affecting our tomorrows? And what can we do with this energy so we can change the energy today, so then the tomorrows are in the direction that we desire them to be, instead of, again, being a repeat, kind of like that Groundhog Day over and over against of on the same thing. So really my question is always is, how is the energy affecting our shifting of consciousness? And again, what's next month going to hold? So here's what they actually shared. The energy right now where we are is that it's, again, in that quickening, meaning that we aren't as consciously aware of all the things that are happening, but we are consciously aware of the things that are happening in the present moment. The energy right now is all about the present moment. And in that present moment, we're able to really get a glimpse of exactly where we are, meaning how are we feeling about things. The soul uses emotions as a barometer to give us an instant feedback, and that's the thing about emotions versus feelings. Emotions create an instantaneous chemical change in the physiology of the body to the point where it's an instant feedback system. If you're feeling negative emotions, then your energy will be drained and you will have a negative perspective on things. It will resurrect old fears, it resurrects old insecurities, and the purpose of that now in that moment with the energy in those fears and insecurities is at that moment is what is driving your thinking pattern, what is driving your emotional reaction, and what is driving your behavior. So the energy right now is all about the now. It's all focused on the third chakra. The third chakra is in the solar plexus of the body. That's kind of that tipping point or that fulcrum if we were doing a teeter-totter metaphor. The lower two chakras, first and second, is all in about the physical reality, the relationships that we have with other people. We go above that third chakra. We have the fourth, fifth, and sixth chakra, and that's all about us. It's all about our relationship with ourselves. How do we talk to ourselves? How do we accept ourselves? And how can we use that intuitive part of us to get a different picture and see the options? So the energy right now in the solar plexus is all around personal power. It's all about being in the now, being in the moment, and looking at the choices we're making at that moment. If we get into the now and we recognize that we're feeling sad, we're feeling down, then the question of the moment is, do you want to be here or shall we change it? And if you decide you want to be there, so be it. No judgment. The soul doesn't have any judgment associated with it. It's just merely a space and time and exactly where you choose to be. But it's being consciously aware of where you choose to be. And if you decide that you want to change it, then the mind immediately goes, well, let's change the whole thing all at one time. But the way the soul looks at it and where the energy is right now, it's not about focusing on the big picture. It's about looking at the detail. Where are you now? How are you feeling? What triggered this feeling? What do you need to change? And look at the little finite things that you can change in that moment, and then act and execute on it. And then what you will do is it creates a different vibration and a different momentum, and it calls back your personal power, your sense of self-confidence, because you dealt with something. There's always a lot of wonderful energy that comes that's very satisfying. When you make a change, you recognize it, you execute it. It's for your reasons and not others. And so the energy right now is all in the third chakra. If we allow our past to drive our future, then all we do is just repeat the past. If we look to the future and we stay too focused in the future, then we can lose sight of where we are in the present. So the energy right now is a balancing act, and that's really what that third chakra is all about. It's all about that balancing act that goes on within the energetics of who we are. Now, the third chakra is liver, gallbladder, it's kidneys, adrenals, it's stomach, it's part of the pancreas, and also it's the spleen, which is part of the immune system. It's also that lower thoracic spine. It's where we also come in and we start to touch the energy of the lumbar part of the spine. And what we do is in this energy right now of where we are is if we are feeling torn and the direction we need to take, then what we're going to do is we have like this little energetic gap. If I were looking at your aura, I would have activity energetically above the third chakra, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh, and I would have energy in the first and second chakra, but it would be like this space energetically in the aura that lets me know that you're at a place of decision. Are you deciding in that moment to stay with where you are, what's safe, what's comfortable, what doesn't require any thinking? And again, no judgment with that. Or do you want to move forward? So one of the things right now, and this will go on through all of August in the energy, and then I'll touch base again the end of August. But what it is pay attention to your digestive tract. Pay attention to how your stomach is. Are you pulling for more Tums? Are you looking for more Prilosec? Are you doing heavy more GERD? Are you having digestive issues? All of those things are telling you that something is eating at you. That's the metaphors I use as medical intuitive. Something is irritating you. And if you're having stomach irritation or digestive irritation, that is the symbology that you are irritated with yourself. And the question in the moment is, are you holding yourself hostage to your past and allowing those habits in the past to be able to predict your future? Or do you want to change? So the energy right now is all about the third chakra. If you feel like your back is tight, your hips don't want to move, your shoulder doesn't want to move, what that's basically saying is that you're in a lockdown position. You may psychologically feel like you're stuck. You're really not stuck. Mentally you are, but physically and energetically you're not. But that's the way the metaphors and the thinking patterns and the emotional patterns play out in the physical body. So what they keep saying to me is that be in the now. And I question this because there's so many wonderful books that have been written, The Power of Now, and so many books about the now. But what does that mean? Well, what that literally means is being conscious of what you're doing this second right now. And when you're in that second, then taking a deep breath, because that takes you deeper into the now. And then what you do is it allows you to really get a pulse of what you are feeling. What are your emotions that you're feeling? So if you were to take a deep breath, it puts you in the now. If you take another deep breath, it takes you deeper into the now. And then what you can do is then you can see where you are. Maybe you're sitting there having a cup of coffee and everything is very pleasant and you're in a very positive space. Then that's the now. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, well, you know, I really need to do this, but I could do it later. And well, maybe I could even do it tomorrow. Well, in that particular case, what you're doing is maybe a pattern of procrastination. And what you're doing is the now is saying to you, if you want to procrastinate, it's fine. But if it's irritating you about you, then let's make a change. What can that change be in the now? Just making a commitment that you will get up and take one step toward the direction that you desire. There's something that they shared that really had a lot of benefit for me personally, because, you know, human, very human, and even being an intuitive, very human, and feel like I get into these different places of also psychologically being stuck, because that's the past. The past is always about repeating past patterns. It's about using that mind part of us, that subconscious psyche part of us, to be able to take everything happening in the now and to really kind of evaluate it based on the past. So something they shared is they shared that fear lives in the past, hope lives in the future, and gratitude lives in the present. If you're at a place where you look at, in that present moment, where you are, and maybe you're ruminating about all the things you should have done, or that you could have done, or that you would have done if things had been different, take a deep breath, take a second deep breath, and look at the things of where you are in the moment that you're grateful for. You're grateful for being alive. You're grateful for being in a chair. As simple as it may seem, and as simple as those places of gratitude are, the fact that you're breathing, the fact that maybe you're not in pain if you're always in chronic pain, the fact that you're able to hear, the fact that you're able to see, it doesn't make any difference what you're grateful for in that gratitude in the moment. It immediately, instantaneously, miraculously changes the energy of that present moment. And what it does is it gives you a different perspective. It allows you to see things different. It takes you to a place of transition and pause so you can evaluate the direction you choose to go and then make the choices, take the steps that get you in that direction. So I'm going to talk about it a little bit more as they continue to just share the information, but that is really what today is all about. It's about that fear lives in the past. Remember that. Every time you experience fear, you are experiencing something that has happened in the past. Hope is what we do in the future. It's what gives us the impetus to get up in the morning. It's the encouragement. It's the inspiration. It is the gift of the future. And then gratitude is in the present. So again, I'll talk about it a little bit more as I get into the next segment, but I do have callers, and this is a Conversations with Carol show. So hi, Jill from New Jersey. How can I help you, sweetie?
Hi, Carol. I want to start by saying I am very grateful that you have this conversation once a month.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And they're all up there going, yay! They're always happy, honey, when I slow down enough to listen to them. It's like, oh, my gosh, there she goes again. So thank you from my heart to your heart, my love.
Well, it's really wonderful to be able to talk to you directly.
Well, thank you. How can I help you?
I have been dealing with a lumbar issue and been doctoring it on and off for 2 years and intensely since January when I moved.
All right.
My disc has been ruptured. I tried to be careful moving, but I must have re-injured a weakness.
Okay.
And I have gone to a chiropractor who made it worse. I've gone to a chiropractor who's made it better. And I have found a doctor who said it's not going to heal until we put you on NSAIDs and COX-2 inhibitors. So I've been dealing with quite a bit of pain, and it's hard to be present when you're in pain.
Boy, isn't that the truth. I know that one really well. Because pain represents our fears and insecurities.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, you and I are going to join forces on this one, sweetie, because what happened is when you injured your body, it sent off a danger signal to your brain. And such severity and such angst that was associated with it and such chemical change that what happened is it triggered the amygdala in your brain. That's the fear part of the brain that really reads what's happening internally and externally and adds the emotion of fear to it. So
right.
When that occurred is your brain went on a lockdown. It literally said to your immune system, put the inflammatory reaction out there. We're going to lock it down. We're going to immobilize it. We're not going to do any damage to the spinal cord. We're going to allow this to be able to heal the way it needs. But the message got hijacked in the process of going to your mind in that subconscious. And every time you experience pain, that fear comes forward, creates anxiety, changes the chemistry of the body, puts that body back into a lockdown. And when it goes into the lockdown, you're locked down.
Right.
You can't move. Your mind is reacting to that fear. And what it's doing is the memory is the injury. And the memory isn't that the injury has healed itself. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, anybody you work with, you do not want them, including a chiropractor, and excuse me, all my chiropractors that are out there, I love your work. But when you're dealing with this kind of a situation, what will occur is they will drop that lumbar sacroiliac joint to take the pressure off of the spine in that area. All that does is sends any message. I don't care whether you tense up, whether it hurts, it will send that message, danger message, up to your brain, and honey, you're locked down again.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to the chiropractor that you're working with that doesn't do that manipulation to where there's the actual manipulating the spine, and there, and some people and what their injuries are, that works fine. But when you're working with a chiropractor that does something that's more of an energetic nature to it, or a non-force chiropractic or network chiropractic, then you're going to have more favorable results, because what they're going to do is they're going to take the message from the brain and they're going to find all these stop gaps, all these places that the message to the brain isn't getting down to the lumbar. And what's going to happen is that in that process, by removing all those stop gaps, then that chi is going to flow the way that it needs to. So, having said this, is that as I touch you, my love, what it doesn't feel like, honestly, nor does it look to me as I go in and look at the lumbar. And the interesting thing is, I think the lumbar that they're telling you that you actually ruptured the disc is actually two lumbar discs above it.
Huh.
So what I've got is, did they tell you that it was in the lower, like, three or four?
They said it was between L1 and L2, and that's what it was showing on the MRI from April. But now the pain is higher.
It is. Now the pain is in the thoracic spine, and it's in thoracic vertebrae 9 and 10. That's where the injury was. So what has occurred is that, yes, there is injury. Don't get me wrong. There is injury, meaning that there's visible change that happened to the spine below the actual injury. So let me go and I'll be more specific, because I think if I can give you a picture, then it can give, you can use your intuition and your skills of visualization to be able to see this. The muscles in L8 and 9, and I'm going to go to 10 while I'm doing this. So 8, 9, and 10. In those areas, your upper back and shoulders were tight. You tighten the muscles there. The muscles clamp down around the thoracic spine as if they were going to strangle it. It cut the electrical messaging that went down into the lumbar L1 and 2. And what it did is that's what caused the actual rupturing of those two vertebrae. When I go down lower and I go down into 3 and 4, that is what you're experiencing right now.
Mm-hmm.
So what I have is, I don't have that the disc were ruptured again. I have the muscle memory that occurred at the time of the actual tightening of the muscles that, like, strangled your spine so the messages didn't get there. Are you feeling strangled? Are you feeling like you can't move? Well, of course, obvious.
Certainly
I'm gonna say
in my
that.
Spine I am, yes.
Yes, you are, sweet.
I'm feeling cautious about moving everything. You know,
yes.
Every time I walk or turn, it's no longer given. I mean, I'm grateful that I can still do it, but
yes,
it's no longer a given that I'm not going to injure myself again.
Absolutely. Because your brain, because what it's remembering when your back gets even tired, what your mind remembers is it remembers that danger message. Muscles lock down. The old injury locks down. Lumbar 3 and 4 lock down. Now your spine is actually immobilized and your body's doing what it's designed to do, but it's got you afraid to move. It's this 8, 9, and 10 is in third chakra. It's taking away your freedom. It's taking away your personal power. You never know if your body's going to betray you. You never know if you're going to turn wrong and just move and going to set this danger message off. So this is muscular, sweet. That's a long way for me to get there. This is muscular. So as you're looking at your healing protocol to use, this is muscular. And by putting you on medication, and I don't mean to discredit by any means, it is the way to go, because what it will do is it will give you that mental reprieve where the messages, danger messages, don't keep getting to the amygdala and to the mind. Mm-hmm. So it will serve a purpose there, but it will not heal the problem, because the problem is already healed. Moving was very stressful. If you look back when you injured your back, you were in a very stressful place. If you look at when you were moving, you were feeling out of control while you thought you were in control. And if you look at where your back was injured, you were feeling in control but thought you were out of control. There's a pattern there. And so as you're looking at this, if you want that reprieve from the pain to help reprogram the brain from the standpoint that everything is going to be okay, then the medication can work for you. But if you know that's what it's going to do, it's not going to heal the problem. There is no problem. The injury is there, don't get me wrong, but it is not re-injured. It is a muscle issue that you're dealing with.
Okay.
And when you work with a chiropractor that works with network, they work with releasing the tension in the muscles on the spine, and you get reprieve. When you work with someone in your particular case with your injury and your vulnerability, the fear that keeps coming up is this fear of uncertainty. I mean, this seems like an old pattern. We all have it, but for you, it seems like you try to plan, you try to do these things, and something comes up. Is that true?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So in that, you're going to carry that in that specific lumbar part of the spine. So some things that came up. Go ahead, sweet.
So in order to heal this, the medication will be a stopgap for the pain, so it can stop the pain for a little bit.
Absolutely.
And that'll help the fear go down.
It will.
But it's not going to release the muscle.
It's not going to release the muscle.
And how to release the muscle is working with a chiropractor in the higher up thoracic area?
Correct. Work with someone who works at an energetic non-manipulative, meaning a non-force way. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that you feel like you have a magnesium calcium deficiency. You might want to go in and look at increasing some magnesium. It's muscular. It does a lot of muscle release. It's one of the best muscle relaxers that we can actually take when we have a deficiency in magnesium. And you don't normally, sweetie, this is just a pattern based on the injury. Your muscles get tight, they need to relax. Then there can be a calcium deficiency. In that calcium deficiency, now what we get is then we can get the deficiency in the bones. So first thing I pick up when we're looking at this is magnesium, calcium would be a benefit to you. Vitamin D3, getting out in the sun where it's warm, maybe not in the heat of the day, but getting the actual sun, stimulating your skin to make vitamin D, get the natural warmth of the sun on your back would be of great value to you.
Okay.
Not sitting in a chair longer than 20 minutes. And if it even means just, you know, getting yourself out of the chair and just walking in place, do it. Because that takes the pressure off of the muscles, gets the lactic acid waste out of it, and that can help you. Icing it will release an endorphin in the brain that's the equivalent of 1,200 milligrams of ibuprofen. Heat will relax the muscles, the fascia, make it more fluid, the muscles, and give you that movement that you're looking for. The other thing is that when you get before you get up, I want you to twist specifically your left ankle, meaning I would like you to just do clockwise, counterclockwise, just rotate it, point flex, specifically the left foot. And what that'll do is it'll take that pressure off of the Achilles tendon, the muscles. It'll get you upright, take the pressure off the hamstring, the glutes in the back, and it will release the muscle to a point where you will not feel and be afraid you're going to injure yourself. The main thing is, and I understand this so well, is the fear that we're going to re-trigger what locked us down, and that holds us hostage.
Yeah. Also, there's fear that I'm never going to get rid of this because I've had it for 2 years on and off, and
right.
my body normally has, you know, knows its way to heal itself.
Exactly.
So having to rely, having just moved, not knowing the practitioners well in the area, and having to rely on people that have not been helpful adds to the scare.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the thing is that your mind, not the brain, because the brain's only interested in the physical body, your mind is, well, you tried that, it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So why are you going to do it again? And that's the way it works. That's the way we're conditioned. And I need to tell you, sweetie, is that I hurt my feet 10 years ago, plantar fasciitis. I have been suffering with chronic pain off and on. And what I finally did, and this is what worked for me, is that I recognized that in this process, what I was afraid of is I was afraid that I wasn't going to be supported. My own body, other people, whatever it may be, it played out a lot of childhood, a lot of different things. I literally, Jill, woke up one morning and I said to my mind, today we're going to stop fixing this. Today I'm going to start healing this.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it was about those words, but when I said to the mind, we're not going to fix this, then I stopped going to chiropractors. I love you, chiropractors. I stopped doing everything I did for 10 years, sweetie. I stopped trying to fix the problem, and by saying we're going to heal, I allowed my body to do what it's designed to do. And when it locked down, then I allowed it to be locked down, and then I took the steps that were necessary in my own process to be able to just sit up, stand up. I was darn lucky and felt great gratitude being able to get up out of a chair because that's how bad I had gotten.
Yeah.
And then when I got out of the chair, I stood there and I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm out of the chair. And then I sat back down because it hurt. And then I got back up and I go, oh, my gosh, I'm glad to be out of the chair. Literally, it's that kind of a process that we have to take. It doesn't take long, but have to reprogram the brain. So the medication can be of value because it will stop the pain danger messages, but it will not address the problem. Because honestly, sweetie, all you have is muscle tension. Excuse me for being light about it. But if you can look at what's wrong, what's going on with your back and what's wrong with your back is muscle versus breaking the spine and causing permanent damage, you'll address it much differently.
The doctor told me that where it was showing as ruptured, he said the danger is that if you don't get the inflammation down, the white blood cells can't get in to heal it, and anything that's leaking out now can't be replenished. He didn't believe that. He said science doesn't believe that stuff grows back, and his big scary movie on this was, and then the bones fuse if you don't do
correct.
Something about it.
Correct. So in many ways, your doctor is accurate. From the standpoint that once the disc ruptures and it starts to secrete and lose the fluid, it does not replace the fluid. That is accurate. But your disc didn't rupture to the point where you lost everything. You still have some cushion.
Yeah.
And for me, being in your body, it would be like, okay, I still have some. So what I need to do is I need to be mindful. I need to keep my muscles relaxed. I need to keep them stretched. Now, you're going to work with someone of what that means, because we're not just going to just foolishly say, okay, well, we're going to put you into the stretching yoga stuff. We're not doing that.
I tried that too, and it made it worse.
It would, because your muscles are tight. They don't want to stretch. And the reason they don't want to stretch, they're trying to protect you. They're doing what they're designed to do. We just need to reprogram them. So from that particular standpoint, with getting the inflammation down, put yourself on some anti-inflammatory foods, fruits, vegetables, citrus acid, lime, lemon juice. Lemon juice is fabulous. It's an anti-inflammatory. It turns the message off. work on it from the standpoint of greens, reds. Reds are natural anti-inflammatories. Look at the orange fruits and vegetables, not only for the citric acid of orange, but for the beta carotene. All of that is very helpful in a restorative state. The other thing is looking at doing some juicing that has more of a cleansing to it. Celery, cucumber, kale, spinach, lemon juice, maybe a little bit of a cacao, which is a pure cocoa powder. All of those things are anti-inflammatory. Ice your back. When it gets tight, ice your back. It kind of numbs the area so the nerves aren't as responsive. That means that the pain messages don't get where they need to go. And the other thing is that when you look at this uncertainty, plan what you can, sweetie, and see what's triggering this uncertainty. And when it arises, then take a deep breath and ask yourself, what do you want to do with that? So really, when we look at this, it's a multiple layer process. And wherever you want to start, sweetie, your body will respond favorably and will come back and will heal. Unfortunately, very honestly, and not foolishly, please let me say that to you, my love, your doctor, in the fact that it does not repair itself and replenish itself in that disc, is accurate, but you bought into his fear. And I say that very lovingly because I did the same thing.
Uh-huh.
I do this for a living. I would never walk barefoot again. I'm almost 11 years, and I just started walking barefoot, and every time I do, I am so afraid I'm going to get laid up again. It will take me anywhere from 3 years to maybe 10 years for this to heal.
Wow.
I bought into it. So I don't want you to be foolish, meaning don't go against what your instincts tell you, but you're dealing with a muscle issue. And if you look at it as a muscle issue with inflammation, and you deal with inflammation, and you give the muscles what they need, which is a little bit of movement, they don't need a lot. They love a lot, but they don't need a lot. Look at getting rid of the inflammation. That could be ibuprofen. It can be Aleve. It can be Motrin. It can be Tylenol. Over the counter, we now know that the most effective way to manage inflammation in a back injury is over the counter. And if you take it with food, we also know that the fear that we had that taking too much is going to cause ulcers and bleeding stomach issues, the reality we now know that your body could, under supervision with a doctor, could take as much as 4,000 milligrams of ibuprofen a day.
Wow.
For 6 months before it has any impact on your stomach. So if you need a Motrin to get the inflammation down or whatever you take, take it with food because that helps it work more quickly.
Take and then it with just, a green smoothie.
Yeah, and just take it, sweetie, and get out of the pain.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
And just give your mind that reprieve.
A standing desk would help.
A standing desk would help, absolutely.
And or but a walking standing desk.
Yes, absolutely. That would help with you. The only thing is I'm going to be very cautious, as you are, as I feel you, is uh-huh. that in this standing and walking is don't overdo it when you're feeling good.
Yeah.
Be mindful to do it.
You got me on that one.
Don't yes. we all? Been there, mm-hmm. done that. We all do this. It's like, oh, my God, I feel good. I think I'm going to put 20 days of activities in one day, and then the next day we're back, and it's like, wow. Well, that was kind of stupid, Carol. So anyway, sweetie, you have a muscle issue. Look at it as a muscle issue. Treat it as a muscle issue. And what that will do is it will start the process of mentally healing this fear that you have. And I do understand that fear so deeply within the core of who I am have great sympathy.
One of yes. the funny gifts of living with this much pain is that I have both appreciation and increased patience for understanding how difficult it is to live with chronic pain. So when I see someone yep. in pain and they're a grouchy person, I so get it.
You do. And, you know, it's very interesting. I do this work. I get told all the time I'm very compassionate. I do believe I am. But I'll tell you what, until I experienced chronic pain, I really had no idea what that compassion looked like. And I'm like you. When I see somebody hurting, I see somebody in chronic pain, I am right there. I have such a big heart understanding where they are. That is, if there's a gift, I believe for me and for you, that's the gift suite. Well, Jill, sweet, approach it that way. Again, I'm not saying no medication. If it's what you decide that you want to try, go for it, sweet.
Thank you.
If it doesn't give you what you're looking for, you didn't fail. It was just another thing on the checkoff list, and try something else.
And there is a way out. It doesn't have to be forever.
Absolutely, there is a way out.
Okay.
There is a way out. I do know this from experience. I can say it because I actually went from being in chronic pain all of the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, to the point where I actually recognized the other day that I had 3 days without any pain.
Wow.
Now, is that where I want to be? Nope. But I got in the now, it's like, oh my gosh, how many days have I been without pain? And all of a sudden it was three. It's like, oh, I want it to be four. I want it to be five. I want to be back to the old Carol. So. I understand that one. Well, lots of love to you, my love. And remember, it's muscle. And whatever you do, just remember it's muscle. All right. I know, my gosh, I've gone on and on and on. But, you know, Jill, honey, you just hit the nail on the head for all of us of where we are, that third chakra and everything. But what I want to do is let's take a quick commercial break. And then I'm going to come back. I've got some more callers. And then let's do it. So I'll be right back.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
What color is your personality? Red, orange, yellow, or green? Now at Reitberger.com, Dr. Carol Reitberger, an international leader in the field of personality psychology, brings you everything you need to know about your personality. With Carol's innovative insights and personality assessment, you can finally live the life you desire, create more satisfying relationships, enjoy better health, and much more. So act now. Discover your personality color and find out about the personality colors of the people in your life, all at Reitberger.com. What you learn will change your life forever.
Today is a Conversations with Carol show, means lots of calls that I'm going to be taking, and I do have callers on the line, so let's go ahead, and I'm going to jump right in, and let's go to Debbie from San Diego. Hi, sweetie. Thanks for hanging so long.
Actually, I'm not calling for myself for the first time. I'm
right.
Calling for a very good friend of mine.
Okay.
Her name is Sharon, and about a month ago, she started experiencing loss in one of her ears, and she initially thought it was her phone or my phone, and it just kept continuing. And so she went to the doctors, and they are having a hard time finding out what it is. She's mm-hmm. very concerned. I'm very concerned. And they took blood tests, hearing tests, and they are gravitating towards an autoimmune deficiency or disorder.
Okay. I agree with that up to a point.
Okay.
So let's go in, first of all. What actually... No, I want to go back the other direction. Thanks for your flexibility, sweetie. I'm working with her body and her mind came in and said, okay, we need to deal with it this way. Okay, so the thing is with the autoimmune issue that she has, that's part of what has been that chronic pattern that she has of, it's really not sinusitis, meaning that she doesn't have chronic, it doesn't feel like she has chronic sinus issues, but she does feel like she has a chronic pattern of pressure buildup in the sinus area, which puts pressure on the eustachian tube and that inner ear. So that I can pick up. And with that immune system being active in it and trying to figure out, do we have an infection, that makes a match. What I really think is going on is that I think she has chronic patterns of candida, which is a yeast overgrowth that goes systemic, that gets into her mouth. I can actually taste metallic taste in her mouth. Some of her taste buds, if you ask her, she may not have as much sensation of food that she's eating. And some of the strong flavors, you can ask her about that. And then it goes systemic in the sinus, and I think that's what I'm getting when I go in. It's not really what we call a sinus infection due to a virus or to a bacteria. It feels like candida. But what it's doing is there's a pattern there that puts pressure on the inner ear, on the eustachian tube, and what it does is then also puts pressure on that inner ear. So I think that's where the autoimmune connection that they're coming with connects. I think the problem is candida.
Okay, the next that makes thing sense. They have her on steroids, and the steroids are doing nothing but making her gain weight. So it's very frustrating.
And what steroids are doing is they're changing the dynamics of her gut and her pH, which is causing her immune system to be more reactive because the immune system can't figure out what it is, and steroids actually can trigger candida. So I understand why they've got her on it. I'm not going to be one to say get her off of it right now because of what they're still trying to figure this out. And it is giving her some reprieve, even though it's gaining weight. But as soon as she can get off the steroids, the better it is.
Okay. Fantastic. And I'm pretty familiar with candida. I don't think it's something that I have, but I went back, because I love you so much, I went back and listened to all of your shows from 2009 forward.
Oh, my gosh.
I've learned so much. So thank you for that. I will let her know. I will have her listen to the archive version of this and talk to her about candida and see if I can help her in that direction.
Okay, and let me take it a step further so we can do this. What is also occurring is because of the pressure that I pick up that she gets in this sinus area and that, you know, cheek area, is that it's changed the jaw hinge on the right side. She feels like she's grinding her teeth, gritting her teeth, locking down her jaw more. I could actually pick up some pressure in that jaw area. And what that's doing is putting pressure on a cranial nerve that's tied to hearing. And so what she might want to do is look at craniosacral work. She might also want to, if in fact the jaw, the grinding the teeth, she can look at some of her teeth feel like they're actually losing some of the enamel up at the gum area. Not a lot, but it's there. She might want to talk to a dentist about doing a night guard, something like that. All that's going to help her. The fact that it came on so quickly is it was literally a perfect storm of everything that happened. Psychologically, something happened 2 months before that kind of locked her down from saying something that she needed to say, but for some reason she chose not to. Again, the decision she made at the time to not say something was the right decision because she needed to think it through to be able to look at the options to see what the situation is, but something has got her locked down. Something is needing to be said that she still figuring out how to say it, how to act on it, how to execute on it, meaning how to speak and actually move it, and that's also part of it. So it was kind of a perfect storm, sweetie, that hit her all at one time. It feels like something kind of pulled the rug out from under her psychologically. That set off the chain reaction of wanting to say something, not sure what to. So now I get that. That changed the way she felt about herself. It changed the way the foods that she ate, that triggered the candida, triggered the immune system, triggered the sixth chakra, that kind of sinus area, locked the jaw down muscularly, and that's the perfect storm that happened.
Can you tell if this person that she should have said something to and didn't, or it was good that she didn't say something, happens to be male or female or job-related?
It is job related. It actually feels like it's female, but she carries a lot of masculine energy. She has a lot of anger. Oh my gosh. I mean, that's exactly what I felt your friend do. It's like, OMG, what do I do with this? Because this woman in masculine energy, this warrior part of this woman, this domineering, is so out of control that for your friend to try to even get a semblance of balance, and inner ear things are all about balance in our life, for her to get a semblance of balance in her life, oh my gosh, I don't know. Honestly, I don't even know how she can do that, because every day is like going into war with a bunch of minefields. Which road do I take? What do I step on? What do I not step on?
Okay.
And I mean, she's good at what she does, and I would hate to see her leave her job, because she is good. But wow, this honestly, honey, was a perfect storm. And if she can look at it that way, then the fear may not go completely away, but if she can look at it that way, then what she can start to do is she can see the pattern, and then seeing the pattern and recognizing it, then she can take that stress and pressure off of herself that builds up in the sinus, the ear, the against the eardrum, all the different things I'm picking up.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, she's gone through a lot of changes, from a divorce to buying a home to changing jobs in the last 2 years, so she has been under a lot of pressure.
Yeah, and just think of the hearing loss at this point in time is just a lot of pressure.
Okay, fantastic.
And what that'll do is that'll take away the fear that she's going to lose her hearing altogether. I really don't think that, because when I go into the ear itself, as you put down on my board here, it's a buzzing sound. If she, that buzzing sound is the sound of the feedback from the brain to the ear, so the ear's still able to hear.
Right.
So what she's getting is she's getting a feedback loop. She's not getting the sound entering the ear and then becoming totally distorted to the point where we've got hearing loss. So
okay.
I'm going to go out on a limb, but I'm going to say it. She is not going to lose her hearing.
Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. She originally thought it was my phone. She kept saying, Debbie, you know, there's something wrong with your phone. And then another friend called her, and she said the same thing to them. And then she got in the shower, and when the water was hitting that side of her face, that's when she realized it was in her ear.
Yeah.
So.
Well, what it really is it's the messages from the brain to the ear that's in this feedback loop that she's hearing. And anytime she has any external stimulus on that ear, the face, in that jaw, it also, then what's going to happen is that feedback loop is going to get louder and louder between the brain. The brain's saying, hello, I think we have a problem here. And that part of her body is going, what? What? I can't hear you. Hello. And the brain is picking up the amp of it. It's like, hello, I'm screaming at you. Can you hear? And she's not able to get that feedback into the ear the way it needs. Like, oh, yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that
thank
should.
You.
You are most welcome, and thank you for your kind words about my work, honey.
Thank you. Fabulous. I've learned, like I said, I've learned so much from you, and I've been listening to you for 3 years and wanted to go back and see what I missed, and I missed quite a bit, so it's very enlightening.
Well, thank you. Oh, thank you so much for that. I so appreciate that. All right. So what I'm doing is I'm getting down into the countdown. So, Sean, thank you, my love. I'm sorry I've just plain run out of time. I hope you'll call me on another show, and then I'll be able to get to you. So what we want to do is we want to remember that anytime we're in fear, and the emotion that's associated with fear, first and foremost is anger. And anytime we get into fear, we're going to feel anger. And in my world as a medical intuitive, anger occurs physically from the waist down. Anytime we get caught in the fear and we can't see the we get the experience of sadness. Sadness affects the physical body from the waist up, shoulders, lungs, jaw, teeth, neck. Then when we go in and we go into that place of gratitude and into that third chakra, then the fear of the past loses its hold on us. The hope of the future takes over and inspires us. And what we end up getting is we get a sense of personal power that we can make a difference in our life. So in that moment, in that gratitude, is we are making a difference in our life by being in the moment. So again, thinking about that, when the third chakra in gratitude gets in balance, we get our personal power, then the fears subside, the hope becomes more hopeful, and we are inspired to move forward and take action. Very, very exciting times energetically. Thank you, guides. Thank you, all of you, as my listeners. It's been a pleasure. You can listen to this show in my archives on www.ritberger.com. Have a wonderful week, and I'll see you on the radio.
You've been listening to The Carol Ritberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.ritberger.com. That's www.ritberger.com. See you soon.